Well, we're in the middle of discussing and learning about prayer. And I must say that I have a memory from my high school days of learning about prayer that left a lasting impact on me. When I was a high school student in my church, I joined the missions committee in my church. That's normally reserved, you know, for the older fuddy-duddies and people like that on a missions committee. I mean, that's not how it is here at CBC. You know, the church I went to, lots of older people. Well, I just showed up one night at a meeting, and the church was small enough that you didn't need some official vote or something. You just show up, and if you keep coming, they put you on the committee. So here I was, a senior high guy on the missions committee. And the really neat thing about being on that committee was these folks really loved the Lord and really had a passion for missions, not even in our own neighborhood, but around the world. And I got to go on a number of trips with them. We would go to some conventions, we would go to missionary meetings, and I got to actually develop a relationship and friendship with missionaries. I kind of thought that was normal in the church world, and then you know, I grew up more and found out a lot of us don't actually have the opportunity to rub shoulders with missionaries. I can't remember exactly which missionary it was, but I remember sitting down with the missionary. This was a man who I respected and had been doing missions work in different parts of the world for quite a while. And I said to him quite an innocent question. I said, "What is it that I can pray for you? What is it that I could share with our church that would be something helpful that you would want us praying for?" And that's when he said the words that I'll never forget. "Todd," he said, "if you could pray for me for anything, pray that I would have a better prayer life and walk with God." Now, this kind of set me back a little bit because I knew that I could identify with that as a high school kid. I mean, my prayer life and walk with God was, you know, not anything spectacular that I felt. I felt I had a lot to learn and a ways to grow. But until that point, I just kind of assumed that most people, most Christians, once they get into adulthood somewhere, you arrive at this place where your prayer life kind of smooths out and becomes this thing that you're really satisfied with. So I prayed for that missionary, but it started me on a bit of a quest. I thought, well, maybe something's wrong with that missionary. Maybe something's not right. And that's why he's feeling like his prayer life isn't quite what it should be. So I started asking other missionaries. I started asking other adults that I respected if it felt right and if we had a type of relationship where I could say, "Hey, how's your prayer life?" Do you know, to this day, I've never had anyone that I respect say, "Man, let me tell you, my prayer life is on fire. It is exactly what God intends for it to be, and I couldn't be more happy." You know, I appreciated last week Pastor Jeff, you know, was honest about his prayer life and saying that he wants more in his prayer life. I know that I want more in my prayer life. So I started thinking, well, maybe I'm just meeting Christians that don't have a great prayer life. And then somewhere along the way, I run into this words that are spoken by a great preacher from the late 1800s named Charles Spurgeon. He was like the mega church guy of his day and was a wonderful preacher. And here's what he says about prayer and his own thoughts on it. "I may feel 1,000 defects, but yet there is hope. I usually feel more dissatisfied with my prayers than with anything else I do." Maybe you're here this morning and you can relate to what's been said last week, to what I'm saying this morning. I just want to start out kind of leveling the playing field, saying, you know, if you're here this morning and you're not giving yourself a high grade on the whole area of prayer, not that we want to ignore that or pretend that that's okay, but we dare not let that discourage us. You know, there's two choices when it comes to this. We can throw our hands in the air and say, my prayer life isn't what it should be. I'm sure everyone else has this great prayer life. And we can start to walk away from God. Maybe prayer is scary. Maybe we don't understand exactly what prayer is, so we keep our distance from God. That's one option. The other option is the one that I want to encourage you to take this morning, and that is this. Let that honest, humble feeling drive you towards your Lord and Savior. Let that honesty of the moment say, Lord, prayer isn't what I want it to be, but I want to pursue you. Here's something else that Charles Spurgeon said. I think he hits the nail on the head. We feel, remember, he's preaching this sermon. I'm reading notes from his sermons. We feel that God is very great, and we tremble in the presence of His majesty. We feel that we are very little, and that in addition, we are also vile. And it does seem a thing incredible that such guilty nothings should have power to move the arm which moves the world. I wonder not if that fear should often hamper us in prayer. I would like to say to you this morning that the answer to moving forward in prayer might just be considering the truth of Scripture that tells us that prayer is not something reserved for a special time and place. Prayer is not something that's only done by a certain group of people or in a certain way. Prayer is actually a lifestyle. I believe that if you can let that truth resonate into your heart and soul, that you will find that that will be hopeful to you. It's been hopeful for me. I don't consider myself any great prayer warrior, but I do enjoy that daily ongoing walk with my Lord and Savior. Let me show you the kind of the official way I say this. It's in your notes. Prayer is so much more than we realize. It's not just an activity reserved for certain times or places. Prayer is a lifestyle. Prayer is an ongoing attitude of communion with God. Prayer is appropriate and encouraged at any time, in every situation, when expressed from a sincere and right heart. I'm going to take a moment to pray. I've been praying even as I've been preaching. But let me pray and ask that the Lord would let these next verses we're going to look at really sink into our hearts. Father, we ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our heart, our soul, to understanding the truth that you desire us to walk with you every moment of the day, and that prayer can be alive and active and just always in process between us and you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to turn to the book of John, chapter 15. We're going to look at some verses this morning that give us this foundational understanding that prayer is something that is ongoing. It's a walk. It's a lifestyle with God. And we're going to use some scripture to show us the truth of this. So John chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 5 through 7. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Jesus is taking the time to teach his disciples about prayer and about remaining in him. This word remain is used a number of times in John 15. It's used a number of times in the New Testament. The word remain is often used in other translations as the word abide. Jesus is teaching his disciples that one of the key truths to walking with him, having a relationship with him, is to abide in him or remain in him. And he gives this great word picture, most likely of a grapevine, but we can think of it as any kind of tree or vine. And he says that I am the rootstock, I am the trunk, you are the branch, and you need to remain attached to, remain, abide in me. It might seem silly, but when I look at verses and read the Bible, I have like spiritual ADD. My brain goes all over the place. And I paint these pictures, and I picture this little branch on its own deciding that one day, you know, I'm going to jump off of the rootstock and just take a trip around the garden. So the little branch goes all around the garden and decides, hey, you know what? I'm getting a bit parched, a little bit dry. I think I'll jump back onto the trunk or the root because now I need some more nourishment. I mean, this teaching is so brilliant because it's so obviously simple that a branch can't survive without being attached to the trunk. If you cut a branch off of a tree on a warm day, within hours, you watch the leaves just starting to die. I believe then that this scripture starts to give us these foundational principles that apply to prayer. How are we to remain or abide in Christ? Well, no matter how you slice it, you have to consider that prayer is part of this command. In any relationship, communication between two people takes some kind of talking and listening and sharing. Prayer must be part of what Jesus is talking about. In fact, in verse 7, he goes right to prayer as an example. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. There is nowhere in the Bible that gives us an idea that a walk with God as a believing Christian that is somehow a part-time thing or something where you check in. I mean, Jesus didn't say here. He could have said, I wish that all of you would come to me 3 times a day and bow your heads in prayer. He doesn't say that. The key thought, the idea is remaining in him. That's kind of one of our first indicators that prayer must also be this ongoing thing in our lives. Not that it's just something reserved for a special time or special place. You will remember, if you were here last week, that Pastor Jeff talked about how Jesus would go away to his private place and he would pray. Now, as I talk today about this ongoing idea of prayer, I'm not setting that one aside. That's a very important piece of our prayer life, that we schedule time to be with the Lord and put that in and whatever that looks like. I mean, Jesus said, make sure you're not doing it in public. Make sure you're not doing it for attention or in a showy way. It's a personal thing between you and God. So that should be in place. However, we're starting to see something here that's very special. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, Pastor Jeff spent some time in this last week. In Luke chapter 11, we see right in verse 1 that the disciples were with Jesus. They were very clear and very bold. Here's what it says. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And then Jesus goes on to give us what we call the Lord's Prayer. And Pastor Jeff walked through that last week. But as we go on down in the verses, let's take a closer look at verse 9. Verse 9, Jesus says, So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock, the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Now when we jump in at verse 9 like that, you got to be going, wait a minute. We went from the Lord's Prayer to all this seeking, asking, and knocking. Well, I skipped verses in there. I skipped the verses where Jesus tells a story about a man who's in his home at night. It's late at night. He's asleep. All the lights are out. The kids are in bed. And someone comes pounding on his door. It's a friend who has unexpected guests that arrived, and he has nothing to feed them, and he's pounding on the door because he wants to ask the friend, do you have any extra bread? I need to give a meal to my friends. Well, the man inside the house at first is not real keen on this, tries to send the guy away, but the guy is persistent, keeps beating on the door. And Jesus says that he opens the door because he knows that this guy isn't going to go away. It's kind of explicit right in there. He says he didn't open the door because he was his friend. He was kind of ticked off, but he knew the guy wasn't going to leave, so he opens the door. What Jesus does here is kind of a teaching in comparison. In Jesus' story, the guy who is home asleep in bed is representative of God the Father. And the person banging on the door represents us. And what Jesus ends up saying is making this point. God is not like that guy who didn't want to open the door, who saw that knocking as a pain or an interruption. Jesus is saying in these verses that I just read, you can be confident about knocking and seeking. And let's say it this way, bothering God. You can't be a bother to your Heavenly Father. Hey, that had kind of a ring to it, didn't it? You can't be a bother to your Heavenly Father. Matthew 7:7 is kind of Matthew's version of this same piece of Scripture. And I want you to hear what the Bible Knowledge Commentary says about these verses. Here's what it says. Now Jesus assured them that God welcomes prayer and urges them to come to Him continuously and persistently. This is emphasized by the present tense and the verbs keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Why? The question is, why do that? Because your Father in heaven delights in giving good gifts. Jesus goes on in that passage in Luke to talk about God, our Heavenly Father, delighting in giving us good gifts and listening to our prayers. In one way, this is very hard for us to accept. I continue to battle feelings during times of prayer that somehow I might be a bother to God. I mean, when you think about this whole idea, I'm really hit with the fact that sometimes I'm praying for the same things over and over and over. Sometimes they're good things, sometimes they're not good things that are going on in my life. And I start to feel like, well, why would God want to hear me once again repeat this prayer request? And so I'm tempted to want to bail out on prayer because I really do feel like I'm that guy knocking on the door and God says, oh, here we go. Todd's here again. All right, come on in. And yet Jesus himself said, no, it doesn't work that way. maybe you've felt that way too. Maybe some prayers you're just so sick of hearing yourself pray, you're like, how in the world could God even want to hear this one more time? But yet Jesus said, be persistent. This story took place in the middle of the night. Part of what we can learn here too is it's okay to bother, in quotes, bother God anytime, night or day, and he's okay with opening the door. Go to Psalm 119. So far, we're seeing that we have to remain, be connected, abide in God, that we have to be persistent in prayer, that it's okay to keep coming back to God at any time with any request. And then this psalm, I really enjoy it. Psalm 119, verse 148. Psalm 119, verse 148. I actually found this verse after I titled the sermon, Praying with Your Eyes Open. So I think that's pretty cool. Here's what it says. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night. If you take time to read other psalms, you will see this spirit and flow of the author pouring out their heart saying, I want to meditate on God's promises, on His Word, on who He is. I want to stay up all night long thinking and praying and being with God. You know, other religions and other spiritual groups have kind of hijacked this word meditate. Meditate as a word and principle is used throughout the Bible. And it's used to mean to chew on. It's kind of our expression would be, hey, I'm going to take that and chew on it, meditate on it, focus on something. This author is saying, I want to focus on God. I want to use my mind and consider all that God is. I want my heart to be in tune with God. This whole concept of meditation and it being an ongoing activity, we find that in Philippians 4:8 and 1 Timothy 4:15 and in other places. You might say this morning, well, that's pretty far-fetched, Pastor. I can barely pray a couple times a day. How would I get to this place where it's a meditation in my heart? Maybe you would even question me as whether it's even possible. Maybe this is even a misinterpretation of the verse. I think it's possible. I don't think it's easy, but I'll tell you why I think it's possible. Because we are designed to be attracted to meditating and thinking on things that we are drawn to. My quickest, easiest explanation of that is think of any young couple in love. When Gene and I were engaged, before we got married, it's always best to be engaged first, I guess. We were engaged. I was living here in Lancaster County, going to Lancaster Bible College. She was 300 miles away, right on the Ohio border, living in Pennsylvania. I used to hop in my old beater Toyota pickup, and I'd drive that five-hour trip, man, like it was a trip across town, because I just was always thinking about her, and when the weekend came and classes were done, and I could head off to the other side of the state to be with her. You know, I found myself sitting in classes, you know, going, oh, Jeannie, oh, just... And all of a sudden, Old Testament class was over, and I'm like, what happened? We can also meditate on, besides someone we love, other things, other hobbies, other our career. We are designed, right, to do that. But somehow, it seems like more work for most of us to meditate on God. I don't want you to give up hope. What I have found is the longer I walk with God, the more these other things in my life which I enjoy kind of go to the wayside. I learn more and more as time goes on that I want to be meditating on my Lord and Savior. I want to be doing that kind of thing which energizes my prayer life. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17 with me. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Even a guy like me that has trouble memorizing scripture can get this one down. Pray continually. Yes, that's the whole verse of 17. Look what comes before it. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Take a look at Ephesians 6:18 with me. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Keep this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Scripture over and over continues to paint this picture for us. The prayer is this ongoing attitude and lifestyle, not just something that's done in a certain spot in a certain way. I'm going to quote Charles Spurgeon again. This book I have in my hand is 12 sermons he preached on prayer, which was really neat for me to be reading while I was considering this whole idea of prayer. Listen to what he says. Never should we fail to offer up every day and continually the prayer which is uttered by the tongue. You know, that's what I said earlier. That type of prayer we need to be active in and engaging in, setting that time aside. Now here's the part that helped me. But there are others who, not neglecting vocal prayer, are far more abundant in active prayer. For by humble and diligent use of the means, they seek for blessings which they need. Their heart speaks to God by its longings, strivings, emotion, and labors. Let them not cease seeking, for they shall surely find. That's this whole idea that there is a way to pray where we consciously speak to God using our mind or our mouth. But there's also this thought of prayer that runs through all these scriptures we looked at that says it's a state of being. It's a lifestyle of walking with God moment by moment every day. In your notes and on the screen, I want to show you what I just called 10 tips for developing an ongoing communion with God. These were just things I quickly wrote out as like the top reminders for myself of how can prayer be this ongoing thing, and here's the tips. While I'm reading them, I'm going to ask a couple guys to come up here with me. We're going to sit down and have a little conversation about how some of this looks in our own lives. But let me read them quickly for you. Talk to God first and last every day. It means when you wake up and when you go to bed. View God as always available and interested. Approach God like a child, humble and trusting. Speak to God as you would a caring friend. Number 5, get to know Him by reading the Bible. Number 6, be yourself. He created you. Number 7, be honest. He already knows your heart. 8, ask the Holy Spirit for direction and guidance. Number 9, be okay with stumbling around at times. And number 10, cultivate an inner attitude and posture for prayer. You can see I put verses there with these, okay? I just didn't make them up on my own. This is all straight from Scripture. Guys, thanks for coming up here. Let's grab a seat. Let me introduce Kevin Knoll to you, to my far left, and Brian Risser here on my left. Not only are these guys friends, but we serve on elder team together. They're elders here at CBC. And I shot this list of 10 to them earlier this week, and I said, if any of these resonate with you and you'd be willing to kind of have a conversation with me Sunday morning, I think that would be great to do. Just to try to give some application to this whole sermon. So each of them said, hey, yeah, there's something on here that really resonates with me. Brian, you had at least a couple you really liked. Why don't you share which one you hit you and talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, number 2 really resonated with me. View God as always available and interested. I think one of the things that made that resonate with me was I had to compare that with my own children and my grandchildren. When my children call me, now both of my children are grown, our children are grown and live at a distance, and our grandchildren as well. And when they want to call me on the telephone or Skype me, I'm available. I mean, they know that. I'll drop everything just to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And they know that I'm interested in what's happening in their life. If I detect a sound of exhaustion or something that's not right, I can tell it in their voice, and I want to hear that. I latch on to every word they're saying. And, you know, if I'm that interested in what's happening to them, if they call at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to say, hey, well, you know, it's late, call me in the morning. No, mm-hmm. I know that something's happening. And if I'm human and I'm fallen and I do that to my children, how much more is God going to do it when I call on him?
Has it been easy or difficult over the years to actually believe that the God of the universe is interested in Brian Risser?
It's been difficult because it's hard for me to imagine that somebody is that interested in just me. Mm-hmm. But as I read the word and see that he is, it's really comforting.
Cool. Thank you. How about you, Kevin? What when you read the list, what jumped out to you?
Well, what stuck out to me was 6 and 7. Be yourself and be honest. I sort of put them together. Mm-hmm. We're only kidding ourselves to think that God doesn't know what we're thinking and what we're feeling.
Yep.
He knows anyhow. Why don't we just, you know, when we pray, why aren't we just open and honest with him? And that's what he wants from us anyhow. He wants that honesty. You know, I think of, you know, in the Psalms how David would just pour his heart out to God and sometimes even anger and frustration. And by the time he was done doing that, he was beginning to praise the Lord because he was remembering how much God has done for him and how much he loves him. And he's just having a conversation with the Lord. He's being honest. And that, I think, is so important. We don't have to have some lofty prayer with big words. We talk to him.
So, wait a minute. You're telling me. I mean, I read the Psalms and I see how some of those prayers go. It's almost like it's disrespectful to God. Are you telling us that you have times where you actually tell God that you're angry with him or upset? I mean, not everyone's comfortable doing that.
I question what I say to him sometimes. But it is. I mean, he knows how I'm feeling in my heart
anyhow.
So you
feel okay doing your best to express honestly how you're doing with him?
Expressing my heart to him, my feelings, yes.
Okay.
That's what he wants from us.
I would imagine that some people struggle with that because depending on your past and your spiritual upbringing, you may have even been taught that God's not like that. He's not personal. You know, Jesus is the one that said, pray Abba, Father, calling God Daddy, right? But still, for some of us, I like what you're saying. I would encourage all of us to be as honest as we can with God because he already understands our heart, right?
That's right.
For me, I guess one thing that I'm realizing is, as simple as it sounds, number one on the sheet has been big for me. I can say that just about every day without fail, the first thing I do as I'm conscious in the morning as I start talking to God, I realize that some of my prayer time throughout the day might not end up being so great, but I'm going to start right there with him every day, affirming that I love him, asking him to walk with me. Some mornings that takes a couple minutes. There's other mornings I'm still in bed an hour later just praying. So depending on my schedule and things. So, and at the end of the day, before I go to bed, thanking him for the day, touching base with him. It sounds simple, but I think if you would take on that challenge, it would be a big help for you. Brian, you had, I think, another one, too, that you said was important to you.
Yeah, number four really spoke to me, too. It says, speak to God as you would a caring friend. When you have a real close friend or someone that you enjoy talking to and you get into an intimate discussion with them, One of the important things is that you not only talk to them, but you listen. I think sometimes we talk to God so much that God would just like to say, hey, wait, hang on, just zip it up a minute. I need to speak to you. We don't even give time for God to speak to us. So just be quiet and listen.
Yeah, but Brian, in the spirit of honesty, you have to have times where you sit there wanting to listen to God and going, well, this is weird. I mean, God, I don't hear you right now. How do you listen to God, Brian? How does that work?
I think it takes some practice. Sometimes just sitting and meditating on His Word, and sometimes God will bring something that you read in His Word to your mind, mm-hmm. A thought or an impression on your heart that you hadn't thought about before. But it just sitting before God and allowing Him to speak when you're not talking.
It's so hard, too, in our culture today because, you know, if we're sitting there with our iPods and our telephones, and, I mean, do we really give God a chance to speak in quiet moments? I think that's getting tough in our culture.
And sometimes we feel like it's wasted time if we're not talking, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like it's a waste of time. But really listening to someone is one of the greatest gifts you can ever give them. So I appreciate what you're saying about that. Kevin, was there anything else you wanted to add? Or?
Yeah, I think number 8 was one that really jumped out at me. It resonates with me. You know, asking God for guidance and direction.
Yeah.
How many times during a day or a week do we say, well, what should I do here? We do it all the time. It's a constant thing where we're making decisions. And it's so important that we, you know, commit that to the Lord and ask Him what He would like us to do and stay in communion with Him. And as we were talking, listen for those things He might bring to our mind and Scripture He might bring to our mind to help us to make those decisions.
So is that something you do when you're maybe just sitting with your Bible, or how does this look for a guy like in your line of work who's out in the field and has a lot on his plate and construction and all that kind of stuff? That doesn't seem like an atmosphere where you could cultivate a spiritual life while you're worrying about all the things that come with your work.
It's that's what actually came to mind when I read that number 8 there. It's something that God has really helped me learn how to do that on a daily basis, because there's many decisions that I have to make either quickly or very soon. You know, fortunately we're very busy with work right now, and I have to be able to decide which project gets the men and equipment, which one doesn't, how am I going to meet those that have real tight needs. Mm-hmm. And so what I began to do is just commit it to Him and say, Lord, being very honest again, I have no idea how this is going to work out. I can't put the pieces of the puzzle together. And I commit it to Him. I sit back and allow things to work themselves out, obviously being, you know, aware of what's going on, looking for other solutions and things like that. And it's amazing. At the end of the day, we took care of it. You know, we covered it. Do I worry? Yeah, I still do sometimes. It's God's working with me on that. But it has become something that has been a daily thing for me, with even not turning my radio on to work and to home.
I do that too.
Because that allows me to think about my day coming up or what ended, and it brings me into a time of praise with the Lord too, because I realize and I can see what He did, how He answered the questions and helped me solve the problems. And it really happens. It really works that way.
Well, guys, thanks for taking a couple minutes. I feel like this conversation could be much longer, but thanks for taking a couple minutes to do that. I have a quote here again. Sorry to keep smacking you in the head with Charles Spurgeon, but the guys could pull this up. It says, true prayer is not a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance, but it is deeper far than that. It is spiritual commerce with the Creator of heaven and earth. I would hope this morning that however you're feeling about your prayer life, that you would move forward from this point in understanding that prayer is much more than just a time and place activity. It's a lifestyle. Jesus himself challenges us to remain in him, to abide in him, to persevere in prayer, to be okay with walking with God daily throughout your whole day. If nothing else, I would encourage you to really meditate on that and think about what it could look like for you to take a step forward in that area, the day-to-day, moment-by-moment prayer and walking with God. Would you stand as we have a closing prayer this morning? Father, you are good and patient and kind. When we read your word, we understand these things to be true. And then when we experience that in our own lives, it's just so powerful. Lord, there's not a man or woman alive who has any right to teach or preach on this concept of prayer from a place of saying that they've figured out all there is to know about you and how to communicate with you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us mere mortals to continue to walk forward and understand how to walk with you on a daily basis, moment by moment. In Jesus' name, amen.